About a month ago, I was home alone. Well, not really alone. If you look on the slide, there are four dogs, and I'm babysitting these four dogs. If you look on the top left, that's Zorro. He's only about 6 pounds. And next to him is Gizmo, and about 13 pounds. And you go on the bottom left, that's his brother. We call him Milo. They all got O at the end. And of course, on the right side in the corner, the big dog, he's 31 pounds, Miko. So here it is, Saturday afternoon, home alone with these four dogs. And I got hungry, and I thought, well, I'm in the mood for peanut butter. Anybody give peanut butter to the dog? It's hilarious to see them eat that. I want to make sure I'm not the only one torturing my dog here. And, oh, so you tortured the dog too, I see. And so I'm home alone, and I grabbed this peanut butter, and I grab this long spoon, and I get some cracker, and I go sit down and start eating. Now, before I sit down, I take the lid off and put it down, and then I go sit down at the lazy boy and start eating. Now, these four dogs, guess where they're sitting? They're staring at me. It doesn't do any good when you're blind. And I can stare right back, and so I'll have my joy of eating the peanut butter, and then I thought, okay, this is good enough, and I let them fight over to lick the spoon, and I went back to the kitchen, I set this on the counter, and I take the spoon and get it all washed away, then I went back to the counter and looked for the lid. No lid. Went over to this counter, maybe it's over here. No. Then I went over to my left, got on the island, I looked for here. Where are those lids? Don't let those pictures scare you. They look innocent. Three of them are tall enough to reach for this lid. And don't count Zorro. He might be the instigator that planned this whole thing out. And so I'm looking for this red lid. Now, I said that in the first time, but you notice what color is this? No, it's red to the blind guy, all right? So follow me here. Whatever it is, we know the color. This is missing. And so I look everywhere, and I begin to wonder if one of these characters, one of those guilty ones, sold my lid, because there's peanut butter on the bottom there. Couldn't find it. So I set this on the counter and put a paper plate over it, put a little weight on it. I said, sooner or later, we're going to find this lid. My wife came home, dark, and she looked all over for the house and couldn't find the lid. She looked outside, and there's not much out there because there's not a whole lot of light to see the area. So well, maybe tomorrow morning with the Sunday daylight, might have a chance to find this lid. The next day, we got up, and they went outside, looked high and low, no lid. We went to church, came back, and we did a massive search again, and still no lid. So I'm assuming that one of these characters up on the slide took it, ate it, buried it. They stole my lid. Well, meanwhile, that afternoon, I was listening to my talking book, and Cindy brought this over and said, honey, put your hand on this bottle. So I did. Worked your way up. So I worked my way up and felt the paper plate, felt the weight. Okay, go underneath the paper plate. And I did, and I reached in, and behold, there the lid. Did I say my name is Zorro? I have no idea I had the lid on. You ever feel that way? So I wasn't free to be me. So some of you might come today wearing your dark shade or you're wearing your mask. And you don't feel comfortable being me. Take a look into the next passage here in John 8:32. On the slide, you notice that to know the truth will set you what? Free. God wants you to be free, but a lot of times we're here this morning, some of you are wearing a mask. Why? Because you don't feel comfortable to remove the mask because they might see you, because one of the greatest fears that we have is rejection. Maybe if they see the real me, they may not like me. Let me take you back in 1983, and as I've gone to church all my life, and I'm one of those groups that I was not knowing who God was, unknown, you know, and it was 83 where I finally discovered who Jesus was, and I was baptized, and at that time, there's a large single group, they're about 30, 40, and they're all excited about Bible study and reading the scripture, and I want to be part of that deal, and I said, you know what, I'm going to put the study together, and I'm going to have some of the single group come over to my apartment, and I'm going to have a study together, but I don't trust me. I was not free to be me, so I thought, I got an idea. Forget about me. I'm going to imitate three guys that I really hire and admire. I mean, there's a preacher named Myron, a preacher named Larry, and another guy named Pachter, who does a whole bunch of one-on-one study. I thought, if I imitate these three guys, I'm going to be one awesome teacher. I mean, these guys are sharp and charismatic and know the scripture and they're engaged. I couldn't go wrong. Forget about me. Put these three, I'm going to be one of the best teachers in this world. Woohoo! I was excited. These guys came over. Of course, my two brothers were living with me. You see, I was there going to school, art school, to be a graphic artist. And when I got done there, I came down here in 1985, went to work for Viewmaster, and then joined with Dave Vigna at the Bible College. Meanwhile, back to the home plate, I did my Sunday school, and I imitate all these three. I was admiring this part of, I was Larry, we call him Smitty. He's right here now. It's just the first time hearing this story. He's going, huh? And then there's Patrick. So I played all three, and you can't lose. And when it got done, they left. They said, thanks for the good Bible study. And I said, this is one of the best Bible study they ever heard. And then my two brothers said, Matt, yeah, be yourself. What do you mean? And you're not Larry. You're not Myron. You're not Patrick. Probably one of the worst Bible study I ever performed. Because I wasn't comfortable being me. I thought being those three, I'd be dynamic. It doesn't work that way. And what makes this interesting, a couple months later, because I was up there doing several community talks for the first time, Smitty came up and said, you ever thought to become a preacher? And I'm thinking back a couple months, it was a disaster. Are you crazy? I didn't tell him that, but no way. I'm not cut out to be a teacher and preacher. I blew it. After I graduated from Bible College, I also went and got a certified behavior consultant, and that's the same profile that Dave and Lori took when they planted the church. They want to make sure they got the right stuff to do this. D-I-S-E, DISC program. And in this program, I discovered that we wear a mask, and when you wear a mask and you don't want to reveal yourself, you feel uncomfortable, and it makes you sick. It makes you distressed. Because we were not designed to be other people. God designed to be you. Let me give you an example. Let's go way back in high school. I loved being the high school play. And I always volunteered for the large part, but they only gave me the small part. Probably because of my hearing, I don't speak very good and talk kind of funny, as they say. But they gave me the small part. But I was fascinated in drama. And then when I came to Spokane, and they had more Christian drama, so I got involved there. I did the Christmas program for the first time. And then I moved down here and joined Robin and Mariana Dodd drama team, where I was involved with the prop and do the layout and acting. And finally, in 1991, I was a drama director. Now I get to play the big part and the little part. I play everywhere. I was the character of the 12 apostles. I was the king, the priest, the soldier, the bad guy. I played the manager. I played the good and the bad and the ugly. I even played the devil. I got an apple. Would you care to have a bite from me? And you want to say, no way. And one thing I know about when you're in the drama, when you play those characters, it took everything to stay in character. It takes work. You see, if you get hired on in Disneyland, and they said, today you're going to be Mickey Mouse, and once you put the costume on, the number one rule is you never, never, never break character. And so when you step out on the park, you walk like Mickey Mouse, you talk like Mickey Mouse, you wave like Mickey Mouse, you hug like Mickey Mouse, you sing like Mickey Mouse, and everything you do, you're Mickey Mouse. Never break that character. It takes work. M-I-C-C, Jesus wants you to be free. K-E-Y, why? Because he died so he would set you free. M-O-U-S, what? And some of the young people are going, huh? If you're young and you have no clue of what I'm talking about, talk to your parents, your grandparents, they'll tell you all about what I just did here. But the goal is, here we are, we're wearing a mask. And God said, don't wear a mask, be free to be me. See, if you look in Ephesians 1:1 or Philippians 1:1, Paul's writing to these believers, he called them saints. See, sometimes we hear the word saint, we think they're dead. I don't know, they're alive people. See, there are two kinds of people in this world. Either you're a saint or ain't. And hopefully you're a saint. See, you heard of St. Matthew? That's me. You got St. Larry, St. Peggy, St. Cynthia, St. Robin, and St. Jonathan, St. Tim, St. Carol. Yeah, because if you're a Christian, you're also called a saint. Odd, but that's how God sees it. Take a look at this scripture here that kind of privileges it. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10. On the screen, This shows us why we should have privilege who how God sees. Peter's writing, this is how God sees us. The very first one in 9 said, you are God chosen. Wow. You see, when I was born, I had no choice of my mom and dad. But as you're adopted, guess what? They get to pick you. You are chosen. That's why we're adopted into Christ. God chose you. That makes it special. I'm not unwanted, but chosen. Look at the second one. We are not only chosen from God, but also royal priesthood. Now, this is powerful. The key word royal means king and queen. My daughter and my wife, they got up ungodly morning yesterday to watch some weird wedding back across the pond. You know, the London royal wedding, 3:30 in the morning. Are you kidding me? But they love it anyway. But here they describe that we are king and queen. And not only king and queen, but priest. If you go back in the Old Covenant, the only person who can be a priest is the tribe of Levi. Nobody else. And if you want to be the king, the only one who could qualify to be the king, you have to come from the tribe of Judah. You see, when Jesus came, he was the priest, the king, and the prophet. But here, Peter said, we are king, queen, and priest. Wow. That means we are ruler. When we get to heaven, we're going to rule with Christ. That's us. That's how we're a ruler. Not only up there, but down here. And the priest, what's interesting, if you go back to the Old Covenant, they have different role for different priests doing different duties. But only the high priest gets to go into Holy and Holy once a year. We as a royal priesthood have access to God when? 24/7. What privilege that is. The next one is we are a holy nation. Don't let the word holy scare you away. Holy means separation. We are called out for something special. You see, when you're at work or at school, and sometimes we get caught up with the group and you want to be part of the group, no, you be separated. You are special. God has made you to be you. Stand up on your conviction and believe what you believe. See, the truth is God loves you. The truth is God died for you. The truth is God sees you special. That's the truth. The truth is you're holy and you're a saint. Then you look at the next line that said that you're called out to worship God because he called us out of darkness into what? Light. We don't have to live in darkness no more. God brought you out of the darkness into the light. And of course, verse 10 says you were once not a God, but now you're a God of people. We belong to God. And the last line says you were once not received mercy, but now we receive mercy. Wow. What privilege. What honor. And if you believe that truth, and the truth is true, why are you wearing a mask? You're free to be you. It's okay to take that mask off and let you to be you. Because we were designed to be us. We're not designed to be other people. You imagine me to be like Dave? Woohoo! I can't be Dave Vigna. It takes a lot of energy. And if I did try to be Dave Vigna, I'd be distressed and burn out and fall apart. I wasn't designed to be like Dave Vigna. God designed me to be me. But you got to begin to take the dark glasses off and the mask and begin to follow him. That makes sense? Be free. The second part that kind of hinders us being free. And sometimes we carry the chain when we come in this morning. Your bondage. And the chain I'm talking about that we don't let go of the past. The past is you are carrying that you are feeling guilty and full of regret. What is that guilt that you're carrying? Is it murder, lying, stealing, slander, abortion? Is it not honoring your mom and dad? Is it breaking the law? Is it rape? All those sins, what's those guilt? And yet you can't be free because you feel the guilt and the regret you have, and you can't be free from that. And God said, look, I died for that. I have taken those sins away from you. See, the truth is God set you free, but who are you going to believe? Look at John 10:10. On the screen, you notice that the thief here, we're talking and we're describing the devil. He does three things. One, he come to steal, kill, and destroy. He loved to steal your joy. He killed your dream, and he destroyed your hope. The truth is, Satan is the father of lies. My question is, who are you going to believe? You're going to believe Satan, who'd feed you with lies? Or are you going to believe in God? Because if you look at the second line, God said, I come that you might have life, might have it fullness or abundance. And a lot of times you come this morning and say, I cannot free because I can't let go of the guilt and the regret. But you can. If you check out Philippians 3 on the screen, you notice this is Paul writing. He gives us some clue how we can let go of the past. And look at verse 13. He said, although I have never attained it. He's talking about, I'm not perfect yet. So in other words, I never made it yet. I'm going to give you a shocker. A preacher like myself, Preacher Dave and Kyle, we are messed up preachers because we're sinners. So are you. See, the only perfect person to ever live on this earth is who? Jesus Christ, yeah. And so if I or Dave and Kyle wait till we're perfect, till we're right with God and we're holy and we're all clean and never make a mistake and never sin before we preach, it never happened. But because we're covered in his blood, we can come up under his grace and preach the best we can, but we're still a messed up people. That's why you and I need Messiah. And so here Paul said, although I have not attained it, but here's what he gave us a clue. He said, but I let go, I forget what? The past. Let it go. You look at Apostle Paul, he's part of the murder, because he was there as he stand there and watched Stephen, the very first martyr in the scripture, and let him die. He went and persecuted the church. That's Paul's past. But he didn't let them tie him down. He said, I let the past go, and turn around, and he focused in the future. And you look at the next verse because he pressed on. Where he pressing on? He pressed on to the prize, the goal, upwardly, heavenwardly, toward Christ. I'm going to give you an illustration that you may not be able to comprehend the truth about God's grace. See, the truth is God loved you, the truth is God redeemed you, and God pardoned you. Well, let me give you a hint of truth that is hard to grasp who God is. Let's go back 80 years from here. Let's go back to the situation where World War II was kicking up. And in our mind, one of the worst evil person we ever known at the time would be Hitler, hand down. Hitler had destroyed family and nation and murdered left and right. Here's the key. Here's the thing I want you to bring up and talk about God's grace. If Hitler, before he died, had believed, repented of his sin, and was baptized to have his sin washed away, and then he died, guess what? He finds himself in heaven. No, you say. He can't go to heaven. He doesn't deserve that man to evil and wicked. Look what he did to the world. So many people have died. Millions of people have died. Many people have destroyed the nation. He turned the world upside down, and you're telling me that God will let that evil person in heaven? That's why he's God and we're not. That's how big God's grace is. When he died on that cross, he said he died for all sin, including the worst one as Hitler. That's a hard truth to swallow, isn't it? Let me ask you this question. What is the greatest sin on this earth? Is that greatest sin is murder, lying, abortion? Addiction? Unfaithfulness? Drunk driving, responsible killing other people? What is the worst sin? None of them. The worst sin is unbelief. Let me explain. Just because you're murdered, murder did not keep you out of heaven. What keeps you out of heaven? Because of unbelief, you reject Jesus Christ. God said, release the chains and be free and follow his grace and accept him. And once you repent and be baptized, guess what? You're in. It's the reason that we're not saved, because it's our unbelief, not because of all these other sins, and they are bad, and God don't want you to do them, but it's not the one that keeps you out of the heaven. What keeps us out of heaven is, the worst sin is unbelief in Jesus Christ. God loved you. That's his grace. See, grace is talk about undeserved. You and I don't deserve it. If we look at him and say, he doesn't deserve heaven, that's true. We don't either. You realize it only takes one little sin for us not to get to heaven? Just one. Doesn't matter if it's big or large, it only takes one. And that's the reason why Jesus died on the cross, so that we are relieved. God wants you to be free to be you. In a moment, Robin's going to come up and have this special song talking about free. And we're going to partake the communion on your table. And when you look at that communion, I want you to be thinking about, what is the mask that you're wearing? For God to let it go. Set it down. Be free. But also, think about what chains that you're carrying this morning. Because God said you're free, let it go. You don't need to carry the regret and guilt. God paid for it. And not only that, in Matthew chapter 6, it said, and at the end of the chapter, stop worrying. Because if you worry about the day afterward, there's enough trouble today, and then worry about tomorrow, let it go. If you worry, then do nothing. You can't add 1 hour to your worry. Besides, if you worry, all it does is cause you more stress, and it doesn't do anything. And God wants you to live today and glorify Him. Let the future alone. Don't worry all the time. And let the guilt and regret go. Because God said, the truth is, I set you free. Who are you listening to? Satan? Or God? See, right now, I have no business preaching today. None! If I chose to listen to the world, which is Satan control. Satan said, you have no business speaking here, man. Look at you. Who want to listen to a blind guy and a deaf guy? You can't even speak in clear word. You mispronounce a lot of it. See, one of the things I did when I go to Bible college, I took speech therapy and Toastmasters to get better. And today I probably butchered about half a dozen words. I know that. And when I get home, my wife said, okay, we're going to work on this one and this one and this one. And I do. I probably dropped some S's on certain places. ST is hard. And SK, matter of fact, in Toastmasters, I was in contest. This is a tough one. I'm trying to be the world champion in public speaking. Not bad for a blind, deaf guy. Almost make it up to the round five, their sixth level. And I was in training. I won the three level, and I'm getting ready to train the next level called the district. And so what I did, I visit other club, and I represent the Northern Division. And I practice my speech over and over and over so I can get better and better before I get to the district. And sometimes I get running up, getting so close. It's just a lot of fun. It's a good challenge for me. And one of the words I could not say correctly, I got in trouble. The word skill, S-K-I-L-L. When I said the word, and after I get done speaking, we have evaluation. And one of the guys said, love that word. I didn't know you drank tequila. I didn't say tequila. I wasn't drinking. So I dropped that word because I don't want to go to Nick Lowe and say, oh, Matt, the preacher drank. Oh, man. But I'm working on it. I'm trying. But as we approach communion, when you look at the unleavened bread, the bread represents Christ, his body, his teaching. Think about that. And then when you take the food of the vine, represent the blood that covers your sin, all your sin. And before you partake, pray this silent prayer. Lord, if I'm wearing a mask, help me take it off today. And let me be free to be me today. Let not be afraid that people might reject you. God don't reject you. God loves you just the way you are. So be you. If you're wearing a chain today, and maybe you can ask God, God, whatever I got today, can you help me release and let my guilt and regret go so I can move forward? Because the truth is, God set me free. Some of you here are not a Christian. You see, the gospel is the good news that God became man in Christ Jesus. He lived the life that we should live. But he died the death that we should have died. He took our place. After 3 days, he rose from the grave, proving that he is the Son of God, and offered the eternal gift, salvation to any or all of those who believe, repent, and be baptized. If you're one of those people and like to become a Christian, talk to me afterward, or write the card that, hey, I want to learn more about what it takes to become a Christian, and someone will come and call you. Are you tired of living on behind the mask and the dark glasses? Are you tired of carrying the chains around you and bring you down? You can be set free. Because to tell you the truth set us free. Let's pray. Father, as we partake the communion, help us to reflect that you set us free. You died on the cross. The truth is you loved us. You give us pardon and redemption. We have privilege through you. God, help us to live that life that you want us to be. I know, Lord, that if we live that life, we can participate in serving you, whether it be becoming a preacher or whether we do the worship or help out around doing this different thing in the ministry here, teaching Sunday school or just be involved. Lord, until we learn to be free, we can't serve you fully. Help us and teach us to give you glory and honor. Let go the regret and the guilt. Help us not to have the worry. Help us to remove the mask and just be what you want us to be. That is the children of God. Thank you, God, for these people here. I don't know what's on their heart. I don't know the struggle they have, but you know. And I pray that your hand reach around them and help their mind be the mind of Christ and their heart. Will you heal their heart if it's a broken heart? Will you let them to become all you want them to be so they can serve you and worship you? God, as they listen to the song, help them see that they are free indeed, because the truth does set us free. In Christ Jesus, we do pray. Amen.